You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
That last song was called Forever in a Day, and that is not prophetic of the way this message is going to go, regardless of what the worship team's trying to communicate. I will indeed have you out of here by noon, in time for you to watch the Bengals game, because I know you value that, right? So no problem. Hey, thank you for coming today, forever and a day, right? It's good to see you guys, and we're honored if you're here for the first time. We're honored that you're here, and we just trust that you'll have a good experience. And my prayer is every week that people walk out of here feeling better than when they came in, right on? Right on. Good, good, good. So everyone likes this idea of being a hero. I know in fourth grade I did. I had a teacher named Miss Mobley, and I had hopes and dreams and aspirations, and regardless of what Miss Mobley thought, I was going to be the president of the United States, you know? Now, my behavior and my achievement in classroom, especially Miss Mobley's class, she just didn't inspire me, you know what I mean? And I probably was at fault, knowing I certainly was at fault with Miss Mobley. I caused some problems, and I think she was on the downhill, and I was just kind of coming in, and I had a bunch of ornery boys and girls, and we just, man, I look back, I wish I could do that whole thing over again with what we put that poor lady through, right? But I remember her saying, okay, what do you guys want to be when you grow up? And I was raising my hand, and she called on me, and I could feel it in her, the roll of the eyes, and I stood up and told her I was going to be the president of the United States. And what was exciting about that to me was that at fourth grade, I wanted to be a hero. I want to make a difference, right? And I remember that. I remember her response. Ryan, sit down. Next. That was pretty much it. She just crushed my hopes and dreams right there, right? But hey, at the same time, all of us, at least while young, we all dream. Deep down inside, we dream and we hope that, and we desire to make a difference, to change the world, to get that promotion, to be, you know, to be the kind of person who comes in and at the last moment saves the day, right? For he's a jolly good fellow. It's pretty good, man. No, I'm just teasing. But the truth is, we do, right? We do. We hope, and I think within all of us. And I also think that some of us have given up on that idea. You know, with life and what you've been, the hand that you've been dealt, for whatever reason, this lie has come in to you, and you've believed it, and for whatever reason, whatever your experience in life has been, you know, you've been beat down to the point where deep down inside, you just think that, you know what, I don't know that I can make a difference. I don't know that I have it in me to ever be the kind of person that I once wanted to be, or this idea of ever being someone who can make change or save the day or be a hero, right? I look at the times and the hours, and even in my own life, I've questioned my own leadership efforts, you know, and at times, it doesn't matter who you are, and it's okay, I think it's healthy to question, is what I am doing or what we are doing, is it really paying off? And at times, to be honest, man, I've had to scratch my head and really go to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Right? All I know is that there are folks who have seen things in me at times that I have not been able to see in myself. And let me give you an example, kind of a history lesson and progression of folks that God has put in my life, right? I remember my great-grandfather, Dad Tyne. He took my mom and dad in. He would go to Florida in winter over the winter months, right? And while he was in Florida, we would stay, and actually we stayed in his house throughout the year. And it was the first 4 years of my life, right? And I remember that. I remember the impact that Dad Tyne had on me. And he had, I don't know how many great-grandchildren my mom could tell you right now, but I mean, I have a bunch of distant family and cousins that all came from Dad Tyne. He had six kids and all my great aunts and uncles. And what's interesting is Dad Tyne saw in Ronnie and I, my brother and I, something. And he gave us like this attention that he gave us. And I remember before he passed, he brought me in and he prayed a prayer of blessing over me, my great-grandfather, Dad Tyne. He was a car sales guy, and he owned a car lot, and he was an interim pastor and evangelist, and just a really good man, right? Dad Tyne. And then there was a youth pastor named Rex Person. Rex Person was my youth pastor, and for whatever reason, Rex saw something in me. And I remember Rex pouring into me and really infusing within me this idea that God was calling me to be something more than what I thought, what I ever thought. And he ministered to me, and he paid attention to me. And he there was something about Rex, and he just was really good to me and helping me through my teen years. And then there was, and still is, my spiritual sponsor, Jerry Heatherly. He goes all the way back to when I was 5 or 6 years old. I used to bring mama's cookies into Jerry, right? Mama's cookies. You remember mama's cookies? I bring these mama's cookies into Jerry, and at church, he was a church, attended our church, and he's still in my life. Jerry is my spiritual sponsor. That's who I call, or who calls me, and he checks in on me. How are you guys doing? How are you and Beth doing? Ask me the hard questions. What's going on at home? You ask me, what's going on at work? You spending the right kind of time with the Lord? How's the church going? I remember Jerry, I was so excited to get with Jerry right when we moved in, before we were moved into the building. We bought this theater, and those of you who remember the theater back in the day, this place was a dump, dive. Do you remember that? I mean, you walk through the front doors and walk into the movie theater, and it's like, you know, the floor, you're just sticky, right? And people spilling pop. And I mean, this place was a dive, man. And I remember seeing this and this idea and what we were doing and how we were going to change it all up and stuff that was happening. And I had the plans, the blueprints. And Jerry is at Tim Hortons with me. And I couldn't wait to tell Jerry, the children's area is here. And this is where the platform is going to be, the sanctuary, the auditorium, the atrium area. And we got this going on and all this stuff. And I'm pointing this out. And I'm just so excited to tell him. And Jerry stops me. He let me go all the way through it, like 20 minutes worth, right? Sipping his coffee. Right when he gets done with it all, he looks at me and he says, so who are you going to disciple? He didn't care anything about the building. Who are you going to disciple? And then there still is a lady named Linda McKissick. She's a business coach and trainer and someone who owns our region for what I do. And Linda, for some reason, she spoke into me and she told me things like, you need to get involved in the leadership side of what we do. And she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And Linda and her husband, Jimmy, have been very, very good to me in training me, equipping me, encouraging me, and helping me through some really difficult times. And then there's Pastor Schooler. Pastor Schooler, pastor to West Carolina Church of Nazarene, of which I was on staff, and we did a Saturday night service. And do you know what that Saturday night service was called? The Shelter. All right, that was where we all started, man, and it was Saturday night at West Carrollton, and I remember for 3 years, it was the third year in, we were at the Christmas banquet, all the staff is around this table, and the church is really humming, we had a big staff, and I remember Pastor Schooler, he leaned back in his chair and reached behind Holly Presley, and I'm sitting right here, and he leans back and he says to me, so what do you think about taking the Shelter and planting a church on the east side in Dayton? Pastor Schooler, seeing something in us that we didn't see in ourselves. Here's what I know. What I know is that we are more than likely here because someone took a stand for us. You would not be here today if someone did not see something in you that you didn't see in yourself. There was someone in your life that encouraged you or led you to a place that ultimately is what even has you here this morning. Someone who has taken a stand for you. And if you look back in your life, there's been someone who cared enough and stepped up and has truly made a difference. And right now, what we need is people to take a stand for someone. We need people to take a stand for one another to help others reach their fullest potential. And in this series of messages, here's not what I'm asking. I am not asking anyone in the next 3 weeks while we discuss this. I am not asking anyone to be a hero. You in and of yourself, me in and of myself, we're not heroes. God is not calling you to be a hero. What God is calling us to be, however, is a hero maker. He's calling us to not focus on being a hero. He's calling us to lean into the purpose of this message series. It's for all of us to understand that there is power in being a hero maker, not a hero. And if you look at God's unfolding story, if you look at it through the scripture, and his story continues, right? We're living out his story. And when you look at it all the way through Genesis, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the Gospels, and all the way through to Revelation, what you see in this unfolding story, and even beyond Revelation, and as it continues here today, God is calling you and I not to be heroes. He's calling you and I to be hero makers, to truly step up and take a stand for someone. And when you begin to take a stand for someone, you begin to affect this world in a kingdom kind of way. Ultimately, what we see in God through his son, Jesus, is a hero maker. Yeah, Jesus was a hero. He was a hero. He came and you know what he did for us by dying on the cross, and Jesus was a hero. But when you look at Jesus and you look at his life, his style of leadership was not to have the spotlight. His style of leadership was to put the spotlight back on the Father, and when appropriate, to put the spotlight on the folks that he was discipling and ministering to. And that's what we see consistently lived throughout the life and ministry of Jesus. Look at Luke 22:42. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. That's Jesus' prayer. Not my will, but yours. Jesus' death on the cross was heroic. And Jesus, he told the Father, not my will, but yours be done. And then he stretched out his arms, and it was there that Jesus gave up his life. And Jesus was indeed a hero. But what he did more than just dying on the cross was that he empowered others to be a hero themselves. He made heroes. That's why he died on the cross. In Luke 8:1-3, look at this. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God, and he took his 12 disciples with him. That with him. When you read and look at it, even in the Greek context, that with him, it means that he spent time with them, that he allowed himself to rub off on them. Why did he do that? He did that because Jesus knew, for whatever reason, God chose to work through Jesus and allow Jesus to bless and empower other people and to raise up a church that would be about spreading the good news. I don't know. When I look at my style of leadership and the way that I think many of us would like to lead, it would sure be a lot easier if I didn't have to teach anyone else to do it, but if I could just do it myself, right? If I could just figure it out and do it we all lead that way. I mean, is it easier to show someone else to do it, or is it easier just to get it done ourselves? And I think that's problematic. Jesus, they chose not to work that way. Look, here's what's interesting. Look at Jesus' his ministry. When you think of Jesus' ministry, I've always pictured him speaking to the masses. Sermon on the Mount. The feeding of the 5,000, right? And it wasn't just 5,000, folks. It was 5,000 men, not counting women and children, right? I think of the masses. I think of Jesus standing up, spreading the good news, right? But here's what the commentary says. The commentaries say that the Gospels, in the Gospels, three-quarters of the emphasis was on training the 12. And when you calculate that, here's what you get. Jesus told the 12 that he would teach them to multiply. I will send you out to fish for what? People, right? And then until his death, Jesus spent 73% of the time with his disciples, not with the masses. Folks, this is backwards from what I thought. I think it's backwards from what we all think. We think that God raises up a preacher. The preacher comes up and he preaches messages on Sunday morning. I show up and I warm a seat with my butt. And I expect everyone, I expect to just have the word in me. And then I take that. It helps me to live my own merry life for the rest of the week, of which I come back and want to get fed again, right? Or something like that. I mean, typically, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying that is kind of what we've grown up with. But here's the truth. The truth is that God is wanting something different out of this whole thing. Folks, I am not into playing church. Is that fair to say? We got, if I want to play church, I've got a pretty good-sized congregation that I could just play with at home. That's my kids, my wife. We just play church at home. But here's the truth. The truth is that God doesn't want us to play church. He doesn't want us to just come in and fill a seat. And he wants us to come in and he wants us. Here's what he really wants. What he wants is through the week to spend time with him. All right. And God forgive us when we don't. But spend time with him so that when we all come in and come together, we've got something here to celebrate. And then what we come in to give, we give what we get through the week. And then what we come in to give, then we take it back out and share it. Right? And we minister and disciple, encourage others. Look, I really truly believe that what God's calling us to be in terms of leaders is not heroes. He wants us in our leadership to take a stand for people, to encourage others. Look at Luke 9, 1 through 6. It says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and he gave them power and authority to cast out all the demons and heal all the diseases. Then he sent them out telling everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey. He instructed them. He gave them instructions. He says, don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So he's giving them instruction. And in verse 6, so they began their circuit, the 12 did. They began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Jesus begins then, he's empowering other people, these 12 that he's been working with, to go and to lead and to go and make the other disciples. Folks, this is the growth of the kingdom. It's directly proportional to the number of called, trained, empowered heroes that you're making. This is how you take a stand. You take a stand by believing enough in someone else to let them know that you see something in them that they don't see in themselves. So why? I will say this. I will say that for me, in my time away for this past, the sabbatical, being off the 3 months, one of the things that the Lord prompted me to come back and do in this last half of the leg of my journey or in public ministry is to empower other people. So I've got this beautiful group of guys, man. There's three of us, and we meet in my office on Fridays, and Friday mornings at 7:30 we meet there, and these guys they do what I do, and they're younger, and all we're doing is we come in, we meet, we share, we pray, and we open up the book of Luke, and we're reading through the gospel, and we're reading it out loud to each other, and then we're encouraging each other in that scripture, talking about what we just read, one or two chapters. Folks, we think that we're not equipped to disciple, But God gives us all the tools to do it. He gives us his word, man. All we have to do, you don't have to be a seminarian to do this. Do you understand what I'm saying? God says, look, just share my word. Just sit down and read through the scripture with someone. And it's amazing what begins to open up when you do that. When you sit for 30 minutes and you read, or 20 to 30 minutes and you read through that chapter out loud with two or three other people. So we do it on Saturday mornings. I'm doing it with two of our staff here at the church. God impressed upon me I need to be spending and empowering more time with Becca and Ash Daddy, whether they like it or not. We're meeting, and we're speaking into one another and empowering each other. Folks, here's my point. My point is that growing up, I was always taught, you know, about this whole church growth concept where you preach and stand up here and you try to do things and bring people in and fill up the church, and that's how it's church growth, right? This whole idea of the pastor and staff, and we're just ministering and doing what we need to do to drive growth. Well, I believe there's something more to it than that. I believe that what God wants is not for us to grow, but he wants us to multiply. Thus, you see Open Table Ministries. Thus, you see Recovery Church. Testimonies of what God is doing, not through me. I remember when we lost one of our folks on our Tuesday night Recovery Church. I remember when the person passed, and we had our very first funeral for Recovery Church. And I came in, and I'm standing in the back, and all these people were coming in, and the place was getting filled. I did not know a soul. And here's what else happened. I saw Don Fricke, and I saw others up here, Kim Craycraft, others. They were up here, and they were ministering. They were pastoring this group of people that I had no understanding or knowledge of who they were, and none of those people knew me. Folks, it was a beautiful thing. The idea of blessing others like Pastor Schooler blessed me, allowed me to go do this, right? I believe that God wants us to multiply, and how we multiply is that we begin to empower, we begin to make heroes out of other people. Instead of us trying to be the fixers, or us try to be the healers, or us try to be the heroes, God is calling us to be the hero makers, right? To minister and raise up and see other people blossom and move forward in their faith, encouraging and uplifting and empowering other people. And that is multiplication. I believe for us to take a stand, there are people that you can take a stand for. There are people that you can take a stand for, and you can begin to speak into them, meet with them, and help them understand the scriptures, or understand those scriptures together. At work, we have this concept. It's I do it, then we do it, then they do it. And the truth is at some point they're going to be doing it anyways. And the truth is, because my point is that our time is short here. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm understanding that more so now that I'm 51 years old. All right? I'm on the last leg of my public ministry. You hear what I'm saying? I'm on the back half of this. And I've got to do a much better job. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." God is calling us, folks, to not just to be disciples. He's calling us to go and disciple. So back to my sponsor, my spiritual sponsor's question, my question to me, who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? If you are not discipling, you're on the wrong track. And I would argue that we're going to be held accountable if we're not speaking into other people. I believe in order to take a stand, the Lord wants us to adopt this mindset of multiplication. It's not about you being the hero. It's about you making heroes. It's about you making an impact on someone else and blessing them and encouraging them to at some point disciple and live out their faith however God calls. The second thing I want you to think about is this. As you take a stand, I want you to think about giving permission. Many of us, we don't give permission. We fail to give people permission. Darlene Fricke was talking about every week she goes over here and she ministers to the kids. And as she ministers to them, she dresses up in a costume and she puts on a little skit. She did that because someone gave her permission to do that. We need to take the focus off of ourselves and put the focus on other people. Matthew 4:19, Jesus says this, come and follow me. Matthew 4:19, Jesus called out to them, come and follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Jesus is not fishing for them. Jesus is showing them how to fish, folks. Here's what I believe. I believe that this needs to be implemented and put into practice. And it's a tool. It's a tool for you to take a stand for someone. It's a tool for you to begin this idea of being a hero maker, right? But you approach someone that's younger than you. I just did it out there. One of our little ones. And this is what I did. I used this tool. And it's actually letters. Write these letters down. You ready? Here's the letters. I see in you. I see in you. Now think about it. Here's the tool. When you approach someone, you say, I see in you someone that God wants to work through, someone that God wants to bless, someone that God wants to gift in helping other people. I see in you something special. And when you begin to talk to people like that, and we begin to talk to our kids like that, and we begin to talk to each other like that, man, there's something that begins to open up. And you begin to breathe life into someone else. And someone else receives that. And they think, you know what? Maybe I can make a difference in this world. You see, a part of the reason why you think that you can't make a difference is because there wasn't someone that took a stand when you needed a stand to be taken for you. Someone didn't come to you and say, I see in you something special. Man, I could go on and on about that. But you try that this week. You walk up to someone and you see in them. You say, I see in you. And you allow the Holy Spirit to communicate whatever that is that you see. That's how you begin to take a stand for someone. And then you follow up and you bless and you minister to them. Jesus, he took a stand for you. He died so that you would be compelled to take a stand, to be a hero maker for someone else. Some of the old timers had it right. I remember way back in the day, Carl Ashburn. He took a stand. He was a mailman. He had a station wagon. And he would drive every Sunday. They'd go pick up all these kids all around the neighborhood. It'd take him about 2 hours. He'd make a couple different trips. And parents and people started coming to the West Carrollton Church of the Nazarene over 40 years ago. Actually, over 50 years ago. Carl took a stand. And when you look back over the last 50 years, there has literally been hundreds of pastors and missionaries and educators and church planners and chaplains that rose up from that work and are serving or have served in leadership, all from the West Carrollton Church of the Nazarene. Is the shelter going to be the same way? Or are we going to be more apathetic and just kind of come in and fill a seat and just kind of sit on our hands and think that someone else will help or minister? God, help us not to be. Here's what I know. God is calling us to do the same, and we will do the same. And in order to do the same, this requires sacrifice. It requires support, your time, your tithe and your offering, prayer, stepping out of your comfort zone. Everyone who takes a stand becomes a hero maker. And I believe that's what God's calling us to be. Let's all stand. Father God, I thank you so much for how you have blessed us and how you've brought us so far. And I thank you for how far you've brought me, Lord. I thank you for all the people in my life that have taken a stand for me. I thank you, God, for how you have put people in my way, God, that saw something in me that I didn't see in myself and encouraged me and helped me and lifted me up and strengthened me. And God, you just seem to help me in that way. And I thank you, God, for that. And now I believe it's my turn to do the same. And I believe it's all of our turn to do the same. I believe that, God, there are people here that certainly are hurting. And they're bruised and they're beaten up. But God, I believe, and Lord, I pray that they would come to know that, Lord, their healing can be found through their ministry. Their healing can be found through their approach to other people, speaking life into them, seeing something in them that other people don't see in themselves. And God, help us to get beyond being leaders that just try to do it all because we get it done easier and more efficiently. Help us to be like Jesus and bring people along with us to do what you've called us to do. Help us to be people that move from us just doing it or I doing it to move to we doing it, because it's inevitable that one day it's going to be someone else doing it. And Lord, I just know that when my day comes to an end, that I want to be responsible of having raised up heroes that are making other heroes, that are taking a stand for others. So, Lord, will you help us and empower us in that way? And, Lord, my words aren't enough. My words today and the vision that we have for shelter, it can only be communicated and it can only be received in the hearts of those that are here if it's experienced and if your Holy Spirit comes and opens up those doors to people's soul. People here would receive that from you, and they would receive you, and God, they would be willing to speak into other people. That's the only way that this vision is going to be fulfilled here at the shelter and throughout the church for that matter. Folks, if you this morning want to respond to this message, I have a prayer, and I'm not going to put the prayer on you without you reading it first. Here's what it says. Father, I know that you've taken a stand for me, and I believe that you did send your son to die so that I could make a difference in this world. Come into my heart and give me what I need to take a stand for someone, just as you and others have taken a stand for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that, if you're willing, I would like for you to pray. Those of you this morning who want to be a hero maker, who's saying, you know what, Ryan, I will step out and take a stand for someone. I will allow God to change me so that I can help change others. Then I want you and invite you to pray with me this morning. Father, I know that you've taken a stand for me. Pray it with me, folks. I believe that you did send your son Jesus to die so that I could make a difference in this world. Come into my heart and give me what I need to take a stand for someone, just as you have and others have taken a stand for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I bless all those that are here today. And may the Shelter Community Church, may we truly be hero makers. In Jesus' name, amen. Give yourself a big hand. Have a good day, guys. Good week.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.